I remember one of the first days of my freshman year of high school, and my first religion class in which we sort of began studying the scripture. We were studying the Old Testament. And our priest, who was my teacher at that time, basically told me, he says, you know, the whole thing of scripture, as he told the class, to remember, it is not the words that are important, but it's a thought that they contain. Again, it's not so much the words that are important, but it's a thought that they contain. And as I read this gospel, I always think about that. Because as we talk about the Sermon on the Mount, about the Beatitudes, it's, you know, one gospel, like today we have Jesus going up on the mountain. On one gospel, we have him coming down on the mountain. And on another gospel, we have him when he's at the top of the mountain. And so, you know, if the thing is, if you believe in the literal translation of a gospel, which one is right? Well, if you follow the message of this so many years ago, back to 1962, it doesn't matter whether we're going up or going down, it matters what he said. And yet in Matthew, it does matter. Because Jesus is going up to the mountain. And this is very much to sort of remind us of Moses. As Moses goes up to the mountain and receives the Ten Commandments and brings down the new laws. That Jesus, in the beginning of his ministry, goes up to the mountain, not so much to give us new commandments or to new laws, but rather to sort of to give us a new way of living. A way of living in blessedness and in happiness, living in the kingdom of God, living one with him and with the Father. It's not so much, you know, something that we have to do, but it's rather something in our hearts and in the lives and the way in which we live our lives. And so Jesus sits down. And throughout, you know, scripture, that all the rabbis, when they began to teach, would sit down. And then the people would gather around them. And so we have that today. Jesus sits down, and the apostles and the people gather around him. And who are the people that are gathering around him? Thing is that this is part of, you know, Galilee. And the area that Jesus was beginning to speak, because remember, this is the beginning of his public ministry. This is really the first part where he's really starting to begin his teaching. It's sort of, you know, one of the lesser parts of Judah. Matter of fact, it's sort of the slums. Or it would be sort of, you know, the not-so-nice part of the country. One that a lot of times by the rest of Judea would be looked down and scorned and laughed at. And the people that he was talking to were just ordinary people. Some were good and some even were not so good. I'm sure that there were people who gathered here to first to see, you know, and to hear because he had heard about this Jesus and wanted sort of to see for himself. And there's also probably some there who are saying, well, geez, there's going to be a lot of people there. Boy, this would be a good opportunity to pick a few pockets and make a few bucks. Or maybe to sell some food and to make a few dollars. So they were ordinary people. Good people, not so good people, people trying to do good, and people maybe not. And yet, you know, this was the kingdom of God. This is where Jesus began to preach his ministry. And he says, blessed are you. And what it means to be blessed is to, you know, sort of to feel a joy and happiness. And that blessedness comes from being one with Jesus and with the Father. to being in a relationship of oneness with God in his new kingdom, the kingdom that Jesus brings. And so he gives these insights on what it means to live in the spirit of the new kingdom, to live in the spirit of being one with Jesus and with the Father. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit. You know, we look at the poor, and we know the poor really sort of depend upon others. They don't have a whole lot. And many times, you know, they depend upon the generosity, the blessings of others to survive and to get by. And so when he calls us to be poor in spirit, he says, don't rely upon the things of the world. Don't rely upon your wealth and the gifts and what you have. But rather, rely upon the blessing and the goodness and the love of God our Father and the love of Jesus. To be one with him. And if you sit there and rely upon that for your happiness and your joy, your blessings, that you truly will be a part of the kingdom. You will be one with God in his relationship. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And when he talks about mourning, he's not so much talking about people who are sad because, you know, they've lost, you know, something, or, you know, maybe they've lost someone they love. They've lost their job. But he means is that, you know, people who mourn, in that we are mindful of the problems and the difficulties of the people around us, of our family, our friends, our neighbors. And so because of that, you know, we sit there and we try to do something to help them. And maybe we pray for them. Maybe we sit there and take up collections. Maybe we sit there and reach out and give some things that we don't need. The thing is that we are mindful of people who are in difficult, hard times, people who are mourning. And because of that, you know, we reach out and we try to console them, to try to relieve or help their mourning. And in doing so, that we too are comforted. We too are blessed. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. And you know, we sort of look upon sometimes the meek people, you know, people that you can sort of walk on, or, you know, it's just a sort of nobody. But what Jesus means here in the meek is that people, you know, who sit there and sort of look at what they have. It's sort of the old saying is, happiness is not having what you want. It's wanting what you have. And I guess the meek people are sitting there saying is that, I look what I have. I have family, I have friends, I have a faith community, I have faith. And so because of that, you know that I truly, really am blessed. And I live in sort of a happiness of what I have been given and what I'm able to do with that, rather than always worrying about what I don't have, what's coming next, or what somebody else has. And this is sort of the meek that Jesus is talking about. For they will inherit the land. The land will be theirs. The kingdom of God will be theirs. Because they appreciate and they understand that the most important thing to have is the love and the support and the faith of God and Jesus and being one with him. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. And again, you know, justice, where, you know, everybody gets what they deserve or gets what they need. Well, we try to be just, to treat others fairly, to treat others as we would like to be treated. We sit there and we treat others as Jesus would treat them. And we treat people, you know, because not so much of what they have, or maybe who they are, but we treat them all because we are all children of God. We are all one with the Father. And whether they be family or strangers, neighbors, or even somebody that we really don't care for, we try to treat them justly and rightly and in a loving manner. And in doing so, we will be satisfied. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. You know, when you hunger, you're longing, and you want. And the hunger that we need is not so much for food or money or pleasure, but basically, it's what is important to God: righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And truly, you know, when others do wrong, others make mistakes, when others need forgiveness, that we are willing to sit there and to offer that. As God forgives us, so too we strive to forgive those who sin against us. We don't try to sort of begrudge other people, to be vengeful, to get back. We try to sit there and forgive, and not only to forgive, but more importantly, sometimes to forget. How often, you know, you may hear, "I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to forget what you did." So the thing is I remember so that if the situation ever comes up again, you know, I'm not going to fall prey the way I did before. Well, see, that's not quite complete and true forgiveness. Because when we forgive and are truly merciful, it means it's not only do we forgive, but we forget. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. And clean of heart doesn't mean impurity, but basically it means is that we are truly striving in our hearts for what is most important: the love of God, the faith in God, and the love of God that we see in others and that we want to bring to others by our word and example. And doing so, you know, that we will see God. We will see God in the scriptures, we will see him in the Eucharist, we will see him in the good works of a faith community and one another. We will see him in our family and friends when they do good for us, when they do good for others, and we will see it in ourselves. And truly, we will be called the children of God. And blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Sometimes it's difficult to live our faith. Sometimes it's difficult to go to church on Sunday. It's difficult to take time to pray. It's difficult sometimes to talk about to others about God and our faith. And sometimes, you know, people make fun of us. They turn away. They even laugh at people of faith. And yet, you know, we stay true. We stay firm. And because of that, know that we truly are walking in a relationship. We're walking in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is with us. And blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and have every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. So in that same vein, that when we put up with that, when we don't let it bother us, when we continue to keep straight the road, to keep walking in the faith and know in our hearts that no matter what anybody else says, is that, you know, we are. No matter what the Diocese of Toledo says, not matter what all the New Regal and all the parishes, St. Joe's, St. Mary's, says about Kansas, St. James, we know that we're walking in God's way as God has called us. And truly, we are rejoicing. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. So Jesus says, you know, to sit there and to follow him and to get to the kingdom of heaven, it doesn't demand miracles. It doesn't demand great sacrifices. But it demands sort of a spirit inside of us each and every day to try to live and to celebrate and remember the love of God has for us. That we are one and that we are worthy to be called children of God. Brothers of Jesus, brothers and sisters of Jesus, that God so loves us that he wants us to be part of his family. And we realize that and we accept that and we strive to live that each and every day. And in doing so, that we truly will be blessed. We will find happiness in this life and in the life to come. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.